most busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to the Audio Stash today. It is Thursday, August 30th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to help end marijuana prohibition in America. We can do it together. Just visit norml.org to make your donation or join Normal today. Prohibition is 70 years old, folks. It won't end without your support. So make sure you join Normal today at normal.org. In another super kind episode of Normal's Daily Audio Stash today, we're going to speak with Bill Downing, one of the directors at MassCann Normal. They're in Boston, Massachusetts. They're getting ready for the Boston Freedom Rally of 2007. That takes place Saturday, September 15th on the Boston Common in Massachusetts. We have links for more information about this event on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. Next week, we're going to speak with Michael Crawford from MassCann Normal, and we're going to present some of the bands that are going to be there at the Boston Freedom Rally. Again, more information available online at normalaudiostash.com. Also today, we're going to revisit our May interview with another director of MassCann Normal there. Steve Epstein talked to us about hemp law reform and also reform in Massachusetts. So we're going to hear some of that Steve Epstein interview today as well. Tomorrow on the program is our special artist showcase with the Cottonmouth Kings. Their brand new album, Cloud 9, came out this week, August 28th. More information about that at SuburbanNoiseRecords.com. Tomorrow we're going to have an exclusive sit-down interview with the Cottonmouth Kings, and we're going to be able to play some exclusive tracks supplied by Suburban Noise Records here as well. You won't hear it on any other radio program or podcast, only right here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, so make sure to tune in tomorrow. Stay tuned. Our interview with MassCann Normal's Bill Downing coming up next.
See that smoking bowl before ya, marks a glorious revelry. Round and round, take up a chorus, and it rapses loudly. See that smoking bowl before ya.
Bill Downing is one of the directors at Mass Can Normal. We have links to their website at normalaudiostash.com. He joins us today to talk about the upcoming Boston Freedom Rally. It's a huge event. Attracts tens of thousands of people every single year right there on the Boston Common. Next week, we're going to showcase some of the bands that will be playing at the Boston Freedom Rally and speak with Michael Crawford, who's the band coordinator for the Boston Freedom Rally up there. But let's start out and hear a little bit more about this event. Bill, welcome here to the Audio Stash today.
Hey, thanks so much for inviting me.
Great to speak with you today. Now, Bill, tell us more about the Boston Freedom Rally. It's been going on for almost two decades now, and it always seems to have an excellent turnout.
Yes, this is our 18th year, and we've been having good crowds. We always have tens of thousands of people who come, and we're expecting the same again this year with promotional help from High Times Magazine and WBCN Boston. And we've got a great lineup of bands and some exciting speakers.
This event takes place right on the Boston Common. How many people do you expect at the Freedom Rally this year?
Well, you know, it's very difficult to judge how many people are in a crowd. The Boston police have sized our audience variously between 15,000 to 100,000 people, depending kind of on the year and depending on whether they're trying to show that we have a very large crowd or a very small crowd, depending on their political purposes at any point. And as far as the newspapers go, they usually report just what the police tell them. I've seen it many, many times over the years where a reporter will be asking how many people are here and will turn to a police officer and the cop looks out at the crowd and says, oh, 30,000 people. And then that becomes the official number.
Hmm.
But it's completely unscientific. And there's many numbers as to, for instance, when you say, how many people were at the rally? Are you saying how many people were at the rally at its largest crowd, you know, a snapshot of the largest crowd? Or how many people were at the rally and came for a while and then left? You know, you have a lot of people passing through, too, who come in, they hear their favorite band, they hang around for a little while and head out, you know? So it's very difficult to say how many people, but it's certainly in the tens of thousands.
Bill, I know there have been dozens of bands who've played there in the Boston Freedom Rally over the years, but I understand this year you're going to give away some awards to some of those notable bands who've worked with you.
Yes, bands and some activists. This is an event that's going to be taking place Friday evening before the rally. There's a cover charge, but the public is welcome, age 21 plus. And we're going to be giving out awards. We're going to have a lot of the people who are well-known throughout the nation regarding these issues there, and some of the great bands that have helped us out over the years. And we'll also have some great music, and we'll be in a really nice environment, a lounge, so people will be able to relax and enjoy themselves. And they can learn about all these events at MassCan's website, which is at www.masscann.org.
Now, the rally this year is particularly poignant. In the last 4 years, there have been a number of local initiatives in Massachusetts, and there's a legislative proposal from one of the MassCan directors, Steve Epstein, before the state Senate this year. So Massachusetts residents really have had a great opportunity and supported marijuana reform every single chance they've been given there.
That's absolutely true. We've had about 500,000 Massachusetts residents who've already been able to vote on public policy questions, which are unfortunately non-binding, but which direct their legislators to introduce and support legislation for the moderation of marijuana laws in various forms, either medical or for the recreational use of marijuana for decriminalization, or for the industrial use of marijuana, hemp. And we've always won all our initiatives. We've run many, many of them. And doesn't matter whether you're in the inner city or whether you're in the rural parts of the state, we always get almost twice as many voters supporting our public policy questions as those who vote against them. And that's true for medical, that's true for decrim, and that's true for hemp issues.
I find that very interesting there, Bill. Where many states have focused on medical access, the questions and issues regarding reform there in Massachusetts, it's really about overall decriminalization to help alleviate the amount of arrests made for recreational marijuana consumption.
Yes. A couple of points on that. Almost half of the population live in states that have already decriminalized marijuana here in the United States. That's, I believe, 11 states. Many of those decriminalized in the 1970s and have been enjoying the benefits of decriminalization for decades now. And it's very easy to look at the records from those states and see how much they have benefited. They've saved tens of millions of dollars, at least, in those states that have decriminalized. And over the years, it's probably hundreds of millions of dollars. And also, they've stopped reducing the productivity of their citizens by stigmatizing them with arrest, things like that. We've had a study done here in Massachusetts by an economist from Northeastern University named Jeffrey Myron. And he found that the state would save at least $24 million a year. And that was an extremely conservative look at court costs, police costs, jail costs, things like that. But we know that the figure actually would be much, much higher.
Jeff Myron, a Harvard fellow economist, he's appeared here on the Audio Stash. He was here for our Tax Day show, actually, this year. And because of the universities and colleges there in Boston and the surrounding area, this event and MassCan actually get an interesting part of academia involved with reform, which puts Boston in a unique position of having some particular impact on this issue.
Certainly that's true. We do have an awful lot of experts. You mentioned some economists. We also have Lester Grinspoon, who is probably the world's most famous expert on medical marijuana, and he works for Harvard as well, or did. He's retired now, but he's in the area. Boston is a great place to restart the decriminalization efforts. We haven't had any states that have decriminalized marijuana recently. All the legislation that's been passing through states recently, as you mentioned before, has been generally aimed toward medicinal marijuana. It sure would be nice to get the decriminalization ball rolling again. And if people are not familiar with it, this is the way that the alcohol prohibition was stopped in the United States. And it was by states, one at a time, dropping out of the prohibition agenda that the federal government was setting for them. And it started with the state of New York, but then they were followed by state after state. And after more than half of the states had dropped out of the prohibition regimen, prohibition fell. And that's what we're hoping for marijuana prohibition as well.
And, Bill, beyond this event, the Boston Freedom Rally, what's next for MassCan Normal up there?
Well, it looks as though Massachusetts is going to have a statewide decriminalization ballot initiative. It's been handed into the Attorney General's office, and we've just gotten a summary of the language. And so we're looking forward to working with other groups in Massachusetts to try and get that that question, ballot question, passed in the state. And that would decriminalize possession of an ounce or less of marijuana for those 21 or older. So that's going to be a big, big project. We're going to have to do signature gathering and fundraising and all kinds of things behind that. And hopefully when that passes in 2008, though other groups may lose some interest in the state of Massachusetts, we at MassCan, of course, will continue our efforts and probably work more heavily on issues like medicinal marijuana and the hemp issue, being as decriminalization will take a lot of the pressure off, at least for a while, as far as reforming the possessionary laws for Massachusetts.
And let me ask, has all of the activity on the marijuana issues in surrounding states, New Hampshire, Vermont, Rhode Island, even in New York, has that helped the reform concept in Massachusetts as well?
I think it does. I think it helps legislators feel a little bit less stigmatized by standing out for these issues, knowing that there are states nearby that have felt the same way, and majorities of legislators in those states who've supported those ideas already. And it just brings awareness. Most of our legislators here in Massachusetts just aren't aware, unfortunately, even though we've tried to educate them over the years. For instance, many of them are still very forgetful about the fact that Maine, for instance, our close neighbor here in New England, has had decriminalization for many, many years. And whether it's decrim or whether it's medicinal or whether it's hemp issues, having states nearby that have taken stands on these issues that are more moderate, we find helps when trying to persuade legislators.
Righto. Well, we're going to check back in with you again, Bill, on Friday the 14th, the day before the Freedom Rally in Boston. We'll have links to get more information at normalaudiostash.com. Bill, thank you so much for joining us here again today.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you again, Bill. Bill Downing is one of the directors at MassCan Normal. We have links to their website and to a special page for more information about the Boston Freedom Rally right up at normalaudiostash.com. Stay tuned. We're going to speak with one of the other directors at MassCan Normal, Steve Epstein, coming up next.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
We got a chance to visit with Steve Epstein of MassCan Normal for our May 1st, 2007 edition of Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Let's revisit some of that interview now. Today, we're looking at a series of bills being considered in Massachusetts. Joining us today from MassCan Normal in Massachusetts is attorney Steve Epstein. Steve, welcome to the Audio Stash today.
I'm glad to be here.
It's wonderful to have you with us today, Steve. Let's begin here by going over the first of these bills. And this set is to approve medical marijuana in Massachusetts. So what does this legislation propose?
Once again, two bills have been filed concerning medical marijuana in Massachusetts. In the House, with significant sponsorship, is an act amending the Commonwealth's current law regulating the physician-approved use of marijuana for medical purposes by TBH-certified patients. It's modeled after the successful Rhode Island bill that was passed a year ago and creates legal protections for patients with written recommendations from their doctor and the approval of their caregivers and the Department of Public Health. This bill is identical to the legislation that was filed last year and made it to the House Rules Committee after being discharged favorably from the Committee on Public Health, only to die. There's also filed in the Senate by Thomas McGee is Senate Bill 944, an act relative to arrest and prosecution for the possession of marijuana for medical purposes. Its primary difference is that DPH approval is not required.
And would there be ID cards under that DPH program?
It'd be the approval only. Ours would be a statewide database. I guess California has a county or even a local government approval database. We would have a database of those. Under House Bill 2247, you don't get these protections unless your medical marijuana has been approved by the Department of Public Health.
And, Steve, would there be dispensaries there?
No dispensaries. There could be individual caregivers who, under both instances, you have to have the marijuana cultivation would have to be in a secured location, and you would have to list who you're as a caregiver, growing the marijuana, you would have to have identified before you started growing who you were growing it for.
And what kind of response has there been to medical marijuana from the public and officials?
Well, the response by the public is, as it is everywhere, overwhelming. But the representatives of the people don't seem quite yet to get it.
Now, we saw the same type of legislative bureaucracy for years there in New Mexico as well, with it bouncing around then timing out the legislative session, until the governor pushed the issue forward. Is Massachusetts waiting for someone like the governor to come along and move this ahead?
It may very well be waiting for that person, or it may be waiting for the doctor out at UMass Amherst. Yeah, it may be waiting for to see where that ball flies. When we were before the committees the last time around, they were all concerned, and these are lawyers, which is a scary thing. They were all concerned that because it's illegal federally, they can't violate the United States Constitution by approving the legislation. And as a lawyer, I scratch my head. And so dual sovereignty when you want to hurt somebody is okay, but dual sovereignty when you want to help somebody isn't. So I don't know.
So there's some sense here, like other states, that Massachusetts doesn't need to be beholden to the federal viewpoint here.
That's the United States Constitution talking. You don't have to enforce federal prohibitions on marijuana. States don't have to do that. And they can acquiesce and allow their citizens to grow their own marijuana, and there'd be nothing the federal government can do to the state legislature. They can try to prosecute the individuals as they're doing may ultimately do with Four Angel, but they can't make the state do anything in that regard.
And
I don't really consider it libertarian. We get a little bit more libertarian when we get to the decrim legislation.
Now let's talk about the bills that would reduce marijuana penalties overall in Massachusetts. Steve, if you would, outline those bills and what they propose to do.
Well, first I'll read the titles because there can be a lot told by what's in the title. Filed with the sponsorship of, again, Senator Jalen and Representatives Rushing and Story, is Senate Bill 1121, an act to impose a civil fine for possession of marijuana. This is identical to a bill that was passed out favorably from the Joint Committee on Mental Health and Substance Abuse last session, and it eliminates the power of the police to arrest a person for possession of 1 ounce or less of marijuana, and punishes that possession of 1 ounce or less with a civil penalty of $250. No person cited under the act would be required to report to a probation officer or be subject to a criminal record, and the bill has again been referred to the Joint Committee on Mental Health. Filed at my request and is Senate Bill 1011, an act to impose a civil fine for the possession of marijuana and for disposition of the fines collected. And Senate Bill 1011 eliminates the power of the police, again, to arrest for possession of marijuana, punishes possession of those over 18, punishes possession of marijuana by a fine of $100 to $500 for a first offense, $200 to $1,000 for a second offense, and it provides that the fine be split between the state and the municipality in which the offense occurred, as we do here in Massachusetts with motor vehicle violations. And this bill has again been referred to the Joint Committee on Judiciary, where it had a hearing two sessions ago, not last session. Both bills would prohibit the use of the marijuana possession offense as the basis for the denial or revocation of any license granted by the Commonwealth, nor a conviction for purposes of any disqualification or for any other purpose, so you wouldn't lose your right to possess and bear arms under the law in the Commonwealth.
Now, Massachusetts does have a $500 fine plus up to 6 months of parole, even jail, just for simple possession.
Yeah, but we are far more liberal state when it comes to how much weight you can have before you become a felon than we are when it comes to dispossessing marijuana, because it's very arbitrary right now that you don't know what a police officer is going to do when you get captured. You may be released like a poor fish with your marijuana poured into the sewer or just in the officer's pocket without any paperwork and never be prosecuted. Or you may be arrested, or you may be given a piece of paper giving you a right to a clerk magistrate's hearing if you turn it into the court in 3 days. And so, as you might suspect, if you're of color or you're younger, you're more likely to end up with a citation or handcuffs than you are to have your marijuana thrown in the sewer and told to go on your way.
And now, Steve, a lot of folks would consider Massachusetts to be this political liberal enclave of sorts.
Oh, Massachusetts is not the liberal enclave, people might think, when it comes to the rights of homosexuals to have marriage. Yeah, we're fairly liberal. We're fairly enlightened in that respect. But when it comes to the possession of marijuana, you'd think we were actually one of the decrim states, and we're not.
And when it comes to traditional recreational marijuana smoking, how does the public feel about that in Massachusetts, Steve?
We are number one. Back, I believe, in 2005, if I'm not mistaken, the federal government issued a survey of marijuana use around the state, and Massachusetts is numero uno.
Huh.
Massachusetts, overall estimate for Massachusetts is that, or based on the, for 1999, 2000, and 2001, persons aged 12 or older, Massachusetts overall is 9.14% admitted they used marijuana last month.
Wow. Wow.
And Suffolk County led the way with 12.16%. We know that's a joke because of all the college students there. But we are number one, and we're proud of it.
Now, Steve, you mentioned to me just before we went on the air that ending marijuana prohibition is a civil rights issue. Is that all of our civil rights, or is this just because pot enforcement really comes down much more harshly on people of color?
It's both. Yes, you have a greater chance of being charged, stopped by the, and having a police encounter if you're a person of color. And if you have marijuana, have the law take its course than you are if you're white. But it's also just a question of civil liberties. We're talking about at least 9% of the population statewide. There are more marijuana smokers in the Commonwealth than there are black Americans. We're only outnumbered slightly by the Asians, if you want to break it down by race. So to stigmatize some 10%, 9-10% of the population as criminals makes it a civil rights issue.
That was Steve Epstein, one of the co-directors at MassCan Normal, in a May 1st, 2007 interview right here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Next week, we'll speak with Michael Crawford from MassCan Normal and showcase some of the bands you'll hear at the Boston Freedom Rally. Make sure to tune in every day for your first source for marijuana news, events, and reform information. This is Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. They've been forced to lie on applications, forego the health benefits of responsible marijuana use, or purchase life insurance products that did not require an application or a physical. If they were honest about their use of marijuana, they were either flat out declined or rated so high that they could not afford the coverage they needed. No longer. Recently, one of Normal's members contacted them with a problem. He was expanding his business, and his bank was requiring additional life insurance. His local insurance agent had told him he simply had to quit smoking marijuana to get the coverage the bank was requiring. He didn't want to quit, and he wanted Normal's help. They contacted me, their insurance agent, and someone who was familiar with the insurance problems marijuana smokers face, and we both wanted to find a solution. I contacted my associate, Marvin Address, a nationwide expert in the area of life insurance, and we took on the challenge. Marvin was finally able to convince a carrier to underwrite the Normal member without the usual negative implications of marijuana use. The member not only received the coverage he needed, he was able to save additional money on the premiums he was paying for the coverage he already had in place. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. As a result of this occurrence, Normal, Marvin, and myself decided that the time was ripe to make traditional insurance products available to responsible smokers without the usual negative implication. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. I am hopeful that this program can be ultimately expanded to make available disability and health insurance products as well. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, or paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566. Challenging as it may be, Normal is a public interest organization working hard to both reform cannabis laws as well as providing valuable services to their membership and cannabis consumers all around the world.
To Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. Podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.